From the Sky News Centre at 7, a man who broke into Windsor Castle with a loaded crossbow to kill the late Queen has been sentenced to 9 years in custody. 21-year-old Jaswant Singh Chahal is the first person to be convicted of treason since 1981. Judge Mr Justice Hilliard says he was found by a police officer in the castle grounds on Christmas morning 2021.
The defendant was wearing a metal mask which he had made at a forge. The officer asked if he could help. The defendant said that he was there to kill the Queen.
He'll begin his sentence at Broadmoor Secure Hospital. A nurse has been found guilty of drugging patients on a stroke ward in Blackpool for an easy life. One of her colleagues has been found guilty of conspiring to give a sedative to someone else in their care. A six-year-old is among more than 50 dead after a missile strike at a Ukrainian cafe and shop. Emergency workers are digging through rubble looking for survivors at the scene in Kharkiv. Officials have accused Russia of deliberately attacking civilians. It's understood the UK is close to signing a deal with the EU's border agency over efforts to deal with the migrant crisis. The agreement would give Britain access to the bloc's intelligence and is likely to be announced next week. Rishi Sunak has been in Spain for a European summit today.
We've had a very successful summit here working with other European countries to stop the boats. This is a shared European challenge, that's very clear. Thousands of arrivals across the European continent.
And climate scientists are warning the rate at which new global temperature records are being set is crazy. Last month was the hottest September on record by half a degree. And in football, Brighton will have to fight back from 2-1 down away at Marseille if they're to seal their first ever Europa League point. Rangers are also in trouble, trailing Aris Limassol 1-0. That's the latest. I'm Matt Steele.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
All right, very good evening to you. It's 2 minutes past seven. Thanks, as always, to Darren for another excellent 98 Not Out show. For the last hour, for the next hour, I'm John Chubb. Welcome into the Non-League Hour.
Streets of this town. and they'll be carving you up all right. You say you gotta stay hungry.
Hi, it's Darren Mutu. Join me on Phoenix FM for Reggae Revival, the only place where you'll hear old school roots rock, reggae, dub plates, lovers rock. Make sure you don't miss it every Wednesday, 10 until midnight, only on Phoenix 98 FM.
It's Reggae Revival with Darren Mutu on Phoenix FM.
So we began musically with Bruce Springsteen and Dancing in the Dark. Welcome into the non-league hour on Brentwood's and Billericay's Phoenix 98 FM. I'm going to be going through the results from the last week. Got a couple of reports as well. Look ahead to the fixtures coming up during the next week. And I've got a special guest tonight as well, because the big news locally in non-league football this week is that Southend United has been sold. The news came through on Tuesday. The club's debt to HMRC has been repaid in full, and Ron Martin has sold the club to new owners. So we're going to be hearing from my special guest, Brian Jeeves, who is a sports writer for the Yellow Advertiser and is a lifelong Southend United supporter. Had a good chat with him slightly earlier today. On Saturday, the Shrimpers drew to all at Rochdale. They were 2-0 up after 24 minutes with the home side. But a brace from Harry Cardwell, who really can't stop scoring goals at the moment, saw the Shrimpers pick up a point. And after the news of the takeover had come through Tuesday, I saw a night of celebration at Roots Hall. Southend beat Oxford City 2-0. Jack Wood scored his first goal for the Shrimpers. Cardwell got a second. Both of those goals coming in the first half, and Southend are up to 21st place in the table. Let's hear that chat I had earlier with Brian right now. Brian, I suppose the overall sort of feeling and emotion for everyone connected with Southend United right now is one of relief, because for so long it looked like the club was genuinely going out of business, and then all of a sudden it's been sold.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is a relief amongst the fan base, albeit, you know, we're a little bit anxious because we don't know much about the owner. Today, obviously, it's been we know now who the consortium are. I'm very positive that Gary Lockett's one of them, a lifelong fan. But I think, look, the club. I heard someone say it couldn't go on like this. Well, it just couldn't go on. That was the simple the simple fact of it. It just couldn't go on. It needed change. It had to be changed. The club has slumped alarmingly. If you have a look around Roots Hall at the moment, the place just looks awful. It needed, you know, new people, a new challenge and a new direction. And that's what we've got.
Yeah, because there's been such a decline the last few. You know, it was only four seasons ago the club was in EFL League One. Then all of a sudden, for the first time in over a century, you find yourselves in non-league football. And it's just been one thing after another. And the situation off the field has been absolutely chaotic the last few years, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, it has been, unfortunately. And I don't think it was overly unpredictable what happened. You know, I could see it coming a mile off. I think we've spoke about it before. It just, you know, you could see what was coming. I mean, when we were in League One, which the season was curtailed by COVID, I remember someone at the start of that season when I think we'd lost our opening six or seven games, and someone said to me, you know, do you think we'll go back up next year? And I said, no, we'll go down again. And we did. It was just alarming. The recruitment was poor. The choice of managers was woeful. It was just one catastrophic decision after another. And, you know, the fans rightly rebelled against that in the end. You know, but to be perfectly honest with you, I think they were patient for far too long.
Yep. Yeah, it took some time, didn't it? You know, we've only sort of heard the words Martin out in recent times. It took a long time for people to run out of patience, as you say. But the other thing is Fossett's Farm, which for years was mooted as the club's all singing, all dancing, new stadium and development. That's basically a dead duck now, isn't it?
Do you know what? As a lifelong South End supporter, I'm delighted it's a dead duck. I wanted to stay at Roots Hall all along. You know, we've seen other clubs that have developed their own grounds and you know, their own stadium, their home ground. Like Leighton Orient have rebuilt three of their stands. There's no reason why we couldn't have done that at Roots Hall and stayed there. It's our spiritual home. We started playing at Roots Hall in 1906. We moved back there in 1955. Roots Hall is South End United. And I'm, like I said, I'm thrilled a bit that we're not going to this place, because every time I looked at it, I just couldn't help but laugh. When you looked at the planning, you were just like, you know, this just simply isn't going to happen, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I was, when I first heard about the takeover, my first thought was, well, are they going to redevelop Roots Hall or maybe look for something elsewhere? But I'm hearing today has already been a planning application submitted to redevelop Roots Hall. And obviously, it's long overdue because, frankly, the place is falling to pieces, isn't it?
Absolutely. But, it didn't have to be like that. It was allowed to get like that. You know, I know it's a stadium that's aging and you know, a little bit rustic, shall we say. But you can still do general maintenance on a football ground and keep it up to scratch. And that just had, you know, it was awful. It really was, you know. I think when the supporters went in pre-season to clean the place up, and some of the stories I've heard that have come back from there were just terrible, you know. But the fans deserve some credit. They got it ready for the season. And you know, and Kevin and his staff and the players have taken it on from there. And they've done a tremendous job to keep everyone's spirits going, because I think, you know, had we been fighting this closure with a team that were bottom of the league and not winning games, it would have been terrible. I mean, it was bad enough that we were bottom of the league because we'd had points deducted through, you know, no fault of the players or the fans. But I think that the togetherness of everyone has really sort of, you know, seen us through this. Now, that's the one thing, is I think in the past the fan base at South End has been very split, but I think now it's, if anything, that this whole scenario has brought everyone closer together. And we're in a position now to go forward with everyone behind the team, behind the club, and behind the consortium.
Yeah, the team did their bit on Tuesday night after the news broke. They beat Oxford City 2-0, over 6,000 at Roots Hall. I heard quite a few stories of you know, people turning up for the first time in years because, you know, they boycotted matches. I imagine it was probably the nicest atmosphere there's been there for a long time, wasn't it?
Oh, it was terrific. It was like a party atmosphere. It really was. I mean, yeah, you're right. There were people that had self-imposed boycotts because they didn't want to give the outgoing owner any money. And they've come back and you know, thoroughly enjoyed the game. It was, I think Southend have played better this season, but I don't think it was about that. I think it was about everyone coming together. I think it was 6,000 for a team that's at the wrong end of the National League. I mean, you can imagine what they'd be getting in there if it was, you know, up to scratch and the team were doing well at the top of the league or back in the Football League. There's so much potential in a town the size of Southend, but it's that word potential all the time, and that only gets fulfilled if you've got the right people at the top.
Yeah, but on the field, I think the last couple of years, Kevin Mayer and his backroom staff and the player have worked absolute miracles. I think given the job Kevin Mayer's done, he's shown the patience of a saint at times, hasn't he? I'm sure some managers would have walked away from that situation.
Oh, do you know, I mean, when they redevelop the place, it's a case of where's the statue going, isn't it, really?
I was going to say.
Him and the staff and the players. I've always said my favourite Southend team of all time was the 80-81 Fourth Division Championship winning team, which I remember going to watch with my dad and standing on the South Bank. But this team will go down as one of my favourites purely because they've stuck with us in our hour of need. The manager has stuck with us, the coaching staff. You know, they obviously saw something and they've stuck with it. I mean, Kevin, as I said, I mean, what goes through his mind at times, I don't know. I mean, there must have been times where he thought, oh, God, you know, how can we get through this? But he has stuck with it. And the football has been good, particularly this season. It has been. He's had nothing to work with whatsoever. You know, and can't bring up any players. And we've been under a transfer embargo for a year. And I understand we'll still be under an embargo until at least November the 1st when Justin Rees and his consortium take over. So to have achieved what he has, you know, and bear in mind the other night, I think if it hadn't have been for a late equaliser from Maidenhead at Oldham, it'd have actually got us out of the bottom four with 10 points deducted. So that's an incredible achievement. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone truly believes that Southend will go down this year, even with a 10-point deduction. But, you know, we've certainly got something to build on, and we've certainly got a very good manager who I've no doubt in the future will go on to greater things. But, you know, hopefully in the meantime, that's with us.
Yeah, I mean, on the field, obviously, the first thing they have to do is survive in the National League, and you sound confident they can do that. But, you know, looking at the next few years, if things are developed properly off of the field as well, do you see a situation where the club could possibly regain its Football League status?
Oh, look, I think getting back in the Football League is their aim, ultimately. But look, that's going to be very, very difficult. I mean, even if you look at Wrexham, I mean, it took them, well, the best part of 15 years, 13, 14 years, something like that.
Yes.
And even when the money came along, they didn't go up at the first attempt.
Sure.
You know, you've got a bottleneck of big clubs in the National League. You've got one automatic promotion place and one lottery of the playoffs. I think in time, the National League and the Football League are going to have a rethink, you know, whether it's a three up, three down or something like that. Because at the moment, you have got this situation developing where the National League has potentially got a lot of bigger clubs than the AFL League too. But, you know, that will be the aim. We've got no divine right to be in League Two or League One or anything else. And we are where we are for a reason. And we all know who that reason was. But getting the club back into the league will be the aim. It's achievable, but it's going to take one hell of an effort.
Well, it's wonderful news. And obviously, you know, hopeful for South, but everybody connected with the club. Southend United go from strength to strength from here. Great talking to you, Brian. Thanks so much for joining me. And hopefully we'll have a catch up at some point soon.
Absolute pleasure, John. Thank you.
And thanks very much to Brian James for joining me. Just to remind you, he is a sports writer for the Yellow Advertiser, and as well as covering his beloved Southend United, he focuses on all of the non-league clubs in the area. He also reports on West Ham and Tottenham. He was about to start watching West Ham's European tie this evening with interest after I spoke with him this afternoon. Incidentally, I know it's not only related, but I can tell you West Ham are back in front in that match. They're winning 2-1 in a Europa League match away to SC Freiburg. He also covers extensively local cricket, rugby, and just general sports across the area. And you can see Brian's work at yellowad.co.uk. Now, continue with the National League. Our local side, Dagenham and Redbridge, have had a very disappointing week. They travelled to Aldershot Town on Saturday and ended up losing 3-2 with Aldershot scoring a winning goal a minute from time. The Dagger scorers were Charlie Kendall and Freddie Sears with his first goal for the club. And it didn't get any better for Ben Strevens. Ben on Tuesday night when they hosted York City at the Chigwell Construction Stadium and they were beaten 2-1. Ryan Hill gave the Daggers the lead just before the hour mark, but late goals in the 85th and 94th minutes gave York only their third league win of the season, and the Daggers have dropped to 19th place in the table. We've got FA Cup third qualifying action at the weekend, and I'm going to be taking a look back at that shortly after we've heard sometimes forgotten 70s classic, but it's a good one. This is Fox and Single Bed.
Expecting you here tonight. Shoes, shake them off while I go and turn the music down soft.
Sweet hair.
John Sharp, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM. So last Saturday was the third qualifying round of the FA Cup with several Essex sides in action. Our featured match on Phoenix Sport came from New Lodge, where Billericay Town of the ESPN Premier League were hosting St Albans City from the National League South. And Jack Patmore was down there watching that one for us.
Jack Patmore reporting for Phoenix FM from New Lodge. Billericay Town secure a superb victory over St Albans City with a 1-0 win in an amazing display of determination and character. Heading into the second half, and Billericay continued to dominate proceedings. Their first chance after the interval saw Alfie Cerulli set up Bradley Stevenson, but he wasn't able to direct his header towards goal. Cerulli, who was given a start this afternoon after a number of substitute appearances, opened the scoring. Moses Emmanuel did superbly to drag a few St Albans City defenders into play, which left Cerulli free, and he slotted home to raise the decibels considerably inside New Lodge. Billericay continued to dominate against their Vanarama National League South opponents. The visitors probed, and in the final stages, they went close when Mitchell Vice's shot was saved by Dan Wilkes. The Blues hold on for a fantastic win, and they put their name in the hat for the Emirates FA Cup fourth qualifying round. It finishes here, Billericay Town 1, St Albans 0.
So, an excellent win for Billericay. Good crowd of well over 800 watching that one at New Lodge. And in Monday's fourth qualifying round draw, Billericay have a home tie once again. This time they host Sheppey United, who play in the ESPN South East. Elsewhere, there was an all-Essex affair down at Parkside, where Averley were hosting Hornchurch. And it was a great first half for the Millers, who were 2-0 up by the interval. John Benton and Jaden Jones scoring the goals for them. But the Urchins fought back in the second half with Liam Nash finding the net on the out and Tommy Hoban scoring a last-minute equaliser. So Tuesday, the two sides met again at Bridge Avenue and it went to extra time. Sam Higgins gave the Urchins a lead after just over half an hour, but Charlie Hughes scored an equaliser for Ailey 5 minutes from time to take it into the extra time period. But in the 114th minute, Matt Rush struck to give Averley a 2-1 win and take them through to the fourth qualifying round. 729 were watching at one at Hornchurch Stadium. And Averley have a plum tie in the fourth qualifying round. They are at home to National League High Flyers Barnet. Also going through on Saturday were Braintree Town. They hosted the National League South side, hosted Brackley Town of the National League North. And they've had a 3-2 winners thanks to a stunning last-minute volley from Aaron Blair, which saw the iron go through, and they will be at home to Chesham United in the next round. Meanwhile, Chelmsford City had a trip to the Midlands, another National League side. They faced Bromsgrove Sporting of the Southern League. And Callum Jones scored a brace for the Clarets, but Bromsgrove twice came from behind. Actually, it finished 2-2. Monday night's replay at Melbourne Park saw City win 3-0 and they booked a tie at home to Whitby Town of the Northern Premier League. A couple of other ties to mention in the fourth qualifying round because National League clubs come in at that stage. Dakenham and Redbridge have been drawn away to Sutton League club Bracknell Town, and Southend United have an away tie to Yeovil Town of the National League South. Fourth qualifying round ties are due to be played on Saturday, the 14th of October. I'm going to be taking a look at the last week in the ESPN Premier League. Initially, after we've heard the cover song from Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. This is called Bauhaus Staircase.
Having a Ball with Keith Ball on Phoenix FM. Big band, swing, jazz and special guests. Having a Ball every Saturday morning 10 till 12 only on Phoenix FM.
I'm having a ball on a good old town tonight.
Yeah. 98 FM.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Not been many games in the East Wing Premier League this last week. Not many next week either, due to the FA Trophy taking place this Saturday. More of that later. But Concord Rangers were in action, looking to turn around their disastrous start to the season. We saw them lose all seven of their opening matches and marooned at the bottom of the table. But they finally got a win on Saturday when they hosted Folkestone Invicta at the Aspect Arena. So I did the top half of the table, and they managed a 2-1 win. Folkestone took the lead just before the hour, but Harrison Day equalised a few minutes later, and Tarjay Anderson scored the winner 7 minutes from time to give the Beach Boys a 2-1 victory. Unfortunately, it was As You Were at the Aspect Arena on Tuesday night when they hosted Cray Wanderers, who ran out 3-0 winners. Concord still off the bottom, though, thanks to that win. They now have 3 points and are in 21st place, just ahead of Haringey Borough, who are now bottom of the table. Also in action on Tuesday night were Billericay Town and Canberra Island in a local derby at New Lodge. And back at New Lodge for us that night was Jack Patmore. He's going to tell us all about that now.
An Elliot Ronto strike in injury time broke Billericay Town hearts as the Blues fell to a defeat in the Essex derby. The visitors began on the front foot and had a chance through Luke Deslandes just after the 10-minute mark. However, he was denied by Dan Wilkes, who made an excellent save. As time ticked on, Gary McCann's side were getting closer to the opener. They came close on two occasions when Ben Wells rattled the crossbar before Frankie Merrifield fired just wide after the ball fell to the former Canvey Island man. With 2 minutes remaining of the first half, the Blues saw another chance go begging. This time Bradley Stevenson tried his luck before Adair Aziz's strike, but both were saved by the goal's keeper. Billericay continued to dominate possession, but were struggling to turn their chances into goals. The opportunities kept coming and going for the Blues, and this one came from a corner. Stevenson's delivery fell to captain Matt Johnson, but his header clipped the top of the crossbar. The visitors were probing in the closing stages, and Wilkes was called into action when Evans Kouassi drove into the Blues box, but his effort was saved. The decisive goal came for the goals 1 minute into additional time. Billericay's defence were ruthlessly exposed as Kouassi's cross was a gift for substitute Ronto, who volleyed into the ground and into the net. The men in between the sticks shone at New Lodge, but Canvey claimed the points.
Thanks, Jack. So, disappointment for Billericay. Great result for Canvey, which took them up to 12th place in the table. Billericay are in ninth. Hornchurch, who weren't in action, league action this week, remained top of the table, 1 point ahead of Chatham Town, who are second. Carshalton, Enfield Town and Hastings United occupy the other playoff spots. Hashtag currently in seventh place on 13 points. And as I mentioned, Concord still deep in the relegation zone with just the 3 points so far. Saturday's Eastbourne North action, meanwhile, saw Brentwood Town have an away fixture against Walthamstow, and the Blues ran out 2-1 winners thanks to a brace from Daniel Ogunleye. Jay Rolfe scored what turned out to be a consolation for Walthamstow. Basildon United were beaten 4-2 at home by Felixstowe and Walton United. Kai Jude and Kai Brown were the scorers for the Bees. Finished Brightling Sea Region 3, Malden and Tiptree 0. Marlon Agakwa got two of Region's goals, and also scoring for them was Ollie Sotonimbo with a penalty just before the hour mark. Great Athletic hosted the league leaders, or now league leaders, Lowestoft Town, and were eased out. The Suffolk side won by 3-2. Sam Bantick scored from the penalty spot for Greys after 20 minutes. David Knight scored a very late goal for Greys, but as I say, the visitors ran out 3-2 winners. In the local derby at Scraley Road, it finished Haybridge Swifts 0, Whittam Town 1. Luke Aggie after 42 minutes for Whittam scored the only goal of the game. Bowes and Pitsey travelled to the bottom club, Ipswich Wanderers, and ran out 2-0 winners. Daniel Thompson and Mali Ulawazmo, the scorers either side of half time for Bowers. Finished Redbridge 3, New Salamis 3. Rowan KMB, Solomon Ogunwumoju, and Suman Nandi were the scorers for the Motormen. So Lowestoft top in the playoff spots, Brightling Sea, Felixstowe, Walthamstow and Haybridge Swifts. Looking further down, Redbridge are currently in 8th place, Bowers and Pitsey in 9th, Bredwell Town up to 10th after that win over Walthamstow, Whittam in 12th, Basildon 14th, Greys are 17th, Walden Tiptree, they're in 18th place, just above the drop zone at the moment. Meanwhile, in the Southern League Division 1 Central, there was a good win for Waltham Abbey on Saturday, which has now taken them into the playoff spot in 5th place. They won 1-0 away at Biggles Wade. Elliot Sartorius scoring the only goal of the game for Abbey just before the half-time whistle. And looking at the Essex Senior League, meanwhile, on Saturday, there was a 3-0 win for Athletic New Mover Stanbury Rovers. Barking 0, FC Clacton 5. Frenford 0, Tilbury 3. Great Wakering Rovers scored 7 against struggling Coggeshall without reply. Housted Town drew 1-1 with Romford. Hullbridge Sports beat Buckhurst Hill 3-0. It finished Little Oakley 1, West Essex 2. Saffron Walden 5, Takeley 1. Sporting Bangor United 3, White Ensign 2. And Woodford Town 0, Ilford 0. Tuesday night's action saw a 4-2 win for Ilford away to Frenford, and Stanway Rovers hosted White Ensign, and Ensign ran out 1-0 winners. Meanwhile, in the Spartan South Midlands League Premier Division, Stansted struggles continue. They were away to Dunstable on Saturday, and they were defeated by 3-0. Just looking at the furlough, none. Meanwhile, Saturday's matches saw Basildon Town draw 3-3 with Brimsdown. Clapton Community drew 1-1 against Cannonswood. Hackney Wick 5, Tower Hamlets 1, Harlow Town 1, Barkingside 1, Hoddesdon 5, Burnham Ramblers 0, North West London 2, Newbury Forest 2, Parkview 1, Dumbo Town 1, Southend Manor 5, Clapton 2, St Margaret's Bury 0, Hutton 2, and Wormley Rovers 5, Tring Corinthians 0 were the results. Dumbo Town currently top of the table, ahead of Harlow Town and Hutton on goal difference. Dumbo have played one less than the other sides. Cannonswood and Wormley Rovers currently in 4th and 5th. And looking at the midweek fixtures as well, Tuesday night saw a 4-4 draw between Burnham Ramblers and Southend Manor. Mayor Baker were beaten 4-3 at home by Takeley. Newbury Forest beat Dumbo Town 3-1. And it finished Stanway Pegasus 1, Barkingside 2. And last night there was one game, Brimsdown drew 2-2 against Hackney Wick. Just looking at the Essex sides in the Thurlow Nunn Division 1 North. On Saturday, Stanway Pegasus lost 3-2 at FC Peterborough. Harrison Parks had beat Great Yarmouth Town by 3-2. Tuesday night saw a win for Wivernoe Town, 4-3 against Holland. Stanway Pegasus, FC Essex Senior Cup, I'll come on to that. That was all the action from the North featuring Essex sides. Holland top, Stanway Pegasus second. Looking for down Harrison Parks at 8th, and a win for Wivernoe Town took them up to 13th place. And in the Essex Senior Cup, There has been more action this week. The first round on Tuesday night saw a 3-0 win for Newbury Forest against Dunmo Town. Mayhem Baker went out. They lost 4-3 at home to Tagley. Barkingside beats Tamway Pegasus by 2-1. Housedy Town of Fury beats West Essex 4-3. And it finished Clapton Community 0, Little Oakley 3. And Wednesday night, there was a couple of games. Hulwich Sports went through at the expense of their host Benfleet. Hulwich won 2-0, so go through to the second round. And Hutton were beaten 3-1 home by Basildon Town. Basildon Town through to the next stage as well. Having a Motown classic there from the Four Tops. It's the same old song. So, for the final segment of our show, I'm going to run through the fixtures for the forthcoming week. And in the National League, Dagenham and Redbridge have a trip to Oldham Athletic on Saturday. Southend United, they are away to Woking. And in the National League South, meanwhile, Braintree Town host Bath City, who are currently in second place at Cressing Road. Chelmsford City have a trip to Western Supermare, and also travelling to the West Country on Saturday are Aveley, currently in fourth. They are away to third placed Yeovil Town. Not much happening in the Eastbourne Premier League this week because of the FA Trophy fixtures, which I'll be running through shortly. But it's your midweek game. Canvey Island travel to high-flying Carl Shorten Athletic on Monday night. Currently in third place, Carl Shorten, 7:45 kick-off for that one. And then on Tuesday night, Billericay Town host Dulwich Hamlet at New Lodge. And Bridge Avenue, it's Hornchurch versus Hastings United. Hornchurch will be looking to stay top of the table. That one kicks off, both of those rather, kick off at 7:45. Meanwhile, in the Isthmian North, this coming weekend. Saturday sees Bales and Bitsy host Stowmarket Town. Brentwood Town are at home to Goulston. Maldon and Tiptree face Enfield. Witham Town play Basildon United. And Grays Athletic have a trip to Norfolk to face Wroxham. And on Tuesday night, Bales and Pitsy play Heybridge Smiths. Brentwood Town have another home game, this time against Redbridge. And Brightley Sea Region there at Felixstowe and Walton United. Maldon and Tiptree host Basildon United. Witham Town face Enfield as well. And on Wednesday night, there is one fixture. Walthamstow are away to New Salamis. And in the Southern League Division 1 Central, meanwhile, Waltham Abbey, they're in action on Saturday. They'll be looking to retain their playoff place as they host Hadley at Cappershots. So moving on to the third qualifying round of the FA Trophy that takes place on Saturday. Billericay Town of the ESPN Premier have home tie against Felixstowe and Walton United from the ESPN North. Concord Rangers, another ESPN Premier League side, host Hive Town. Redbridge travel to Bagshot Lea. Heybridge Swifts host ESPN Premier League Highflyers Chatham Town. Hornchurch have a trip to Leyston. Hashtag United, they are away to South Park. And Canvey Island, they are also travelling to Surrey for their tie. They are at Walton and Hersham. It's also the FA Vars this weekend. The first... No, it's not. I've got the wrong Saturday. It's been one of those days. So instead of that, I'm going to take a look at the Essex Senior League fixtures. And Saturday sees Buckhurst Hill take on Halstead Town. Coxhill Town still without a win. They face Ilford. FC Clacton host Great Wakering Rovers. Romford versus Little Oakley. Saffron Walden Town take on Fremford. Sporting Bangor United host Woodford Town. Takeley versus Holbridge Sports. Tilbury versus Stanbury Rovers. West Essex versus Barking. And White Ensign versus Athletic. Newham has a number of midweek fixtures as well. Meanwhile, in the Spartan South Midlands League Premier Division, Stansted will be continuing to look get out of trouble. They are away at Milton Keynes Irish, kickoff 3 p.m. Third Line London Division 1 South, meanwhile, Barkingside host Hutton. Benfleet play Hoddesdon Town. Brimsdown at home to Southend Manor. Cannonswood versus Tower Hamlets. Clapton Community versus Burnham Ramblers. Harlow Town versus Dunmo Town. Two of the sides at the very top play each other. And St Margaretsbury, they are home to Enfield Borough. Tuesday nights and Wednesday night, there's a number of fixtures as well. Meanwhile, in the Thurlow Nun First Division North, Saturday sees Holland travel to FC Peterborough. Stanway Pegasus, another side, you're well at home to Swaffham Town. And Wivenhoe Town, they host Dussindale and Hillsdon. As one midweek fixture, as a Wednesday night, Holland versus Harwich and Parkstead. So, best of luck to all of our local sides this coming weekend. That's the Hives, and Hate to Say I Told You So. No, this isn't non-league related, but I dare say there'll be odd West Ham United fan listening, so you'd be delighted to hear that in Europa League Group A, the Hammers have 1-2-1 away to FC Freiburg tonight. Packets are and Gerd, the goal scorers. Waiting in the wings now is Gareth Williams. He is going to be here for the next 2 hours with Bumper to Bumper. Madeline Christie along with the night shift, 10 till midnight. I should be back on Saturday afternoon with Phoenix Sport through till 6 p.m. I hope you can join me then. Doing Sunday morning this week as well. I'm in for Sophia Marie. So if you're up at about Sunday morning, I hope you can join me then. If not, I should be back all being well next Thursday with another non-league hour, 7 till 8 p.m. In the meantime, take care and a very good night to you. Thanks for listening. And also thanks to Brian Jeeves, my guest, and to Jack Patmore for his Billericay Town reports as well. See you later.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.